Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. All aboard the Nightmare Train. Today we're going to be covering 10 allegedly true experiences on these railroad lines that will scare the ever-living crap out of you. When going to the train station to go to work turns into a fight for survival, what will you do to ensure your safety? Let's get in to these stories that will definitely keep you up tonight. So, this story happened back in 2016. I was 18 and was planning on visiting my girlfriend. We lived in different cities in the UK, so I decided to get a train and visit her for the weekend. The train I caught was slightly earlier than I had booked. But some UK trains have the option for more flexible times as long as it isn't at rush hour. It was 5 a.m. in winter. It was cold, dark, and miserable, and I had just stepped onto the platform to wait for it to pull up to the station when a roughly 60-year-old man came and stood next to me. By next to me, I meant he was literally less than 20 centimeters away and practically leaning on me despite almost no one else being around. So it's not like the area was cramped. He was balding, wore thick-rimmed glasses with incredibly strong prescriptions by the looks of it. He was significantly taller than me. I'd say he was close to 6'6", but slim and gaunt with coarse graying skin and had unusually wide mouth and a scraggly beard that looked like it needed a good trim. He was dressed in a black baggy hoodie that was pulled over his head and wore fatigued jeans that looked as if they were close to falling apart at any moment. I stepped away, trying to politely put some distance between us, and fortunately, he didn't follow me any further. The train pulled up, and I stepped onto the carriage. I found a seat. For reference, I sat in the left side of the train next to the window. I put my headphones in and tried to nap for a duration of my 3-hour journey. The train was mainly empty. A few tired workers slumped in the corner sleeping off the work from the night before, and a couple of old women chatted quietly between themselves. The journey was mainly painless, and I had mainly forgotten the old man, and couldn't see him either in my carriage or the ones adjacent, so I paid the thought of him little attention. It was about an hour into the journey when the train went to a short tunnel. It couldn't have been for more than 20 seconds, but I felt a strong hand grab my right leg. I jerked out of my daze, half asleep, but I found that the train exited the darkness and the old man was sat directly next to me, still grasping my leg hard enough that it would later leave a light bruise along the thigh. I pulled my leg away quickly and asked him what he was doing. I'm not an intimidating person, a pretty fat teenager that barely reaches 5'8". It's never really to be scary. But I put on my most confident and authoritative voice and repeated my question, though this time it was louder and contained a few more choice words for the old man. I had barely managed to finish the question before he grabbed my face with his hand and slammed my head against the window so that I was pinned in place. Despite my struggles, he easily held me in place and leaned in until he was inches from my squished face. With a deep, baritone voice that seemed to echo around in my brain, he whispered directly into my ear something similar to,
"You would be a very nice plaything."
I apologize that I can't remember the exact words, The adrenaline that had me freaking out made it difficult to concentrate on the things that he was saying, but I vividly remember he knew my name. He then licked the exposed side of my face slowly until a bridge above the tracks blocked what little light was trickling into the carriage. As the light dimmed, I felt the hand release my face. I snapped to look where the man had been, but he had already disappeared from view. I rose shakily from my seat and rushed to the toilet to vomit from the fear. I stayed in there for over an hour before an inspector knocked on the door to check me out and to check out my ticket. I informed him what happened, and he had escorted me to the police officers at the next station, who swept the entire train for the man. It was treated as an assault, so the police viewed the CCTV footage from the train, but they were unable to identify the old guy. I nearly broke down into a panic when they said they couldn't find him, but that wasn't even the worst part. When the police later viewed the CCTV that covered the route I took to the train station, they stated that the same tall black hooded man could be seen following me for almost 2 miles, starting from just outside my house. To this day, I refuse to return to that city. I moved away about 2 months later and have made a promise to myself that I would never ride a train again. This story happened when I was around 11 or 12 years old, and I was finally on summer break. Me and my best friend, who I've met on the internet, made plans for me to stay at their place for the weekend. She lived in a city about 2.5 hours away from me, but I have met her before in real life, so everything was fine. On that day, I took the train by myself, which was not a new experience for me, since my mom let me have a lot of freedom and experience. I texted my friend the time and place I'd arrive, but that city was huge, so I got the name of the station mixed up, which led her going to somewhere else instead of where I was. But at the time, I obviously didn't know. So, when I arrived, I just took my suitcase and went to a quiet corner to wait for her while watching all the busy people running from A to B. My friend texted me asking where I was, and after some more text, we figured out that it was my fault for telling her the wrong station, but she was on the way to pick me up. After waiting for a few minutes, a man in his 30s accidentally bumped into me. Even though I was just standing still, he apologized 1,000 times. I assured it was fine and nothing happened, but he insisted on making it up to me and wanted to buy me a hot chocolate or something to eat. I refused. But I was also a pretty shy girl back then, and wasn't taken seriously many times. He seemed pretty frustrated at this point, and decided to just grab my hand and try to drag me with him. Only then, I realized that his intentions were not good, and I felt super scared. No one else around seemed to notice what was going on, but like a miracle, my friend just arrived on time and came straight to me. I was calling her name, which made the guy realize I wasn't alone anymore. So, he took off as fast as he could without saying anything. So I hope that creep from the train station, who tried to abduct me, never tried to abduct anybody else. Background. I'm 20 years old at the time, and after visiting my friends in college for the weekend, found myself traveling home, alone, and taking a train from Boston out to the suburbs where my car is parked. I'm running late and very concerned that I'm going to miss the last subway out of Boston, but gratefully, the train I needed pulled up quickly. I remember being annoyed at myself for creating stress with such an unnecessarily close call, as I was definitely on either the very last or next to last train out of Boston. And while I have friends I could stay with if I missed the last train, I have to work in the morning, and my phone is completely dead. The ride is long and slow, and there is hardly a soul on the train after we leave the immediate Boston area, which isn't odd seeing how it's Sunday and after midnight. Halfway through the 45-minute ride, I doze off and jerk awake hearing the blaring Braintree announcement, which is my stop. I'm foggy, but I grab my bag and jump off the train. And the moment I realize I'm at the wrong stop, the doors close, turns out, and they're just announcing the train destination, not train stop. As you can imagine, I'm feeling pretty lousy about this, watching the train plot off in the direction I need to be going. I'm the only person to get off the train, and the station is unfamiliar and utterly deserted. I quickly realize I'm in Quincy, three long stops away from my destination, and I'm feeling screwed. I really, really need there to be another train. I look around and realize I'm close to the end of a desolated and strikingly dark outdoor train platform. While the chances for there being another train so late is extremely slim, it's my only hope, and I begin to feel panicked, stupid, and vulnerable. After a minute or two, standing there dumbfounded and triple-checking that my phone was dead, I suddenly spot a man, standing under a light, a distance down the long, thin platform. A little ways farther beyond him appears to be the only exit or entrance, unless there are some stairs going down to the terminal, halfway down that I can't see. While the man makes me a little nervous, he's clearly facing the tracks, which gives me hope that there is one last train that is on the way, thinking that maybe he just missed the one I got off. I decide to just quietly sit on the bench close by and choose to stay unnoticed and in the dark while I wait. The bench is partially enclosed, and when I sit down, I'm basically obscured from the shoulders down by deep shadows and can still see in every direction but directly behind me. A quick glance around, it confirms though I'm definitely alone down here. So, on the dark bench I sit and wait and feel completely obscured. With my wearing dark clothes and it being so dark on my end of the station, I have the opportunity to rather blatantly watch the man at the end of the platform. The well-lit man is tall, thin, and not old, like 30s. He has light, slightly shaggy hair, and dressed casually preppy. He's strange though, standing abnormally still, looking straight ahead in a weird way. Something is off, but he's minding his own business and probably doesn't even know I'm there. And while I feel really uneasy, I do find some slight comfort in being certain that no one is down here with me and can openly watch the other person from the dark, hidden, on the bench. After a few minutes, the band begins to rock a little, placing weight on one foot and then another. He takes a few slow steps towards the edge of the platform, and I notice he's using a white and red walking cane for the visually impaired, and tapping and feeling his way as he walked forward. Suddenly, I'm very relieved, as this may explain his unusual posture. Just as I'm feeling more relaxed, the feeling vanishes. He's still walking towards the platform edge, and quickly. I stiffen up and sit up straight, looking intently. He makes it to the bright yellow raised metal warning tread that is the very edge of the platform, only a foot wide, and directly before an 8-foot drop onto electrified train tracks. He stops there, banging his cane against the edge, toes literally at the furthest point. I stand up and walk a few paces closer as he starts to sway again, but more dramatically. My mind begins to race. What's going on? Is this a suicide situation? He is in a lot of danger. I just want to take action and try to quickly to figure out what the best way is, because this poor man could be dead very soon. I'm just trying to figure out how to approach him because I really don't want to startle him. With his being so close to the edge, in fact, he's the furthest you can go and is swaying, has evolved to a kind of dance. Suddenly, after what seems like ages, but it's probably just a minute or two, he stops and begins to take slow steps backwards. Finally, he returns to standing still and staring straight ahead, back under the spotlight. With my heart racing and my mind spinning, I return to my dark bench, sit down quietly, and try to process what suddenly happened. I want to help this man, but I am being overwhelmed by alarms in my brain. I keep watching and being as silent as possible. He stands calmly for a few more minutes under the light, facing the tracks and safely several paces away from the edge. I decide to get help. I mean, he just did something crazy, really unnerving and really dangerous, and I don't know what his intentions are. I'm still sitting on my dark bench fighting off conflicting feelings and secretly watching him when he suddenly turns his whole body directly to face me, absolutely smiling and looking suddenly right at me. I'm completely startled, and my jaw drops. My mind is now racing like crazy. He knows I'm here. He must know I'm here. But if he knows I'm here, why is he facing me? He knows exactly where I'm sitting. Is he actually blind? But I'm sitting in the dark and not making a sound, and he's smiling. I'm frozen solid. What happens next is so sudden that I remain basically frozen like a statue, sitting on the park bench, the entire time, not making even the slightest sound. Suddenly, still smiling, he turns and faces the tracks, and again using his cane, walks right over to the very edge and begins to side swaying again, except now, it's even more dance-like. He then changes position, putting one foot right on the edge and one foot behind him, as he starts this exaggerated lunging motion, as one would jump out in front of a train, nearly jumping off the platform, but catching himself before he does. He does this repeatedly, all the while I'm just watching from a distance, basically in, well, horror and confusion. Suddenly he stops all of this and turns. This time he doesn't face me, but faces in my general direction, my end of the tracks, smiling still from what I can see. He slowly begins to walk down the platform towards me. He is walking right on the edge, directly on the warning track. The whole time I can hear the clank and the clack of the cane going side to side. He is so close to the edge that the cane is going into the darkness. He gets closer and closer, and I can do absolutely nothing but stare. How could he be walking so close to the edge? Why is he coming down here? Closer and closer he gets. I can now see him better. Still, the big gaping grin on his face. Empty and farcical, like a game show host. And his eyes. They're slammed shut. They aren't gently closed. They're aggressively and exaggeratedly closed very, very tight. I know, though, that it's possible to peer a little bit while making his face. My mind is exploding, and I remain frozen solid. He is now so close, about 20 feet away, I'm thinking that if I hang on just one more minute, maybe he'll walk right by me. And with him out of the way of the entrance, I can run and go get help. And maybe, just maybe, his facing me and smiling was just a coincidence. Maybe this whole time he has no idea I am even here. Maybe he really is blind. But greatly to my dismay, only about 15 feet before he reaches me, he stops and turns to me. Eyes still slammed shut, a gaping smile. He is just now standing there on the edge of the platform facing me. His eyes are tightly shut and he is facing right at me. This can't be possible, and I feel like I am in a surreal nightmare. And then suddenly, it gets much worse. He starts making this weird, high-pitched whimpering, moaning, feminine soft laugh. He reaches for the zipper on his pants and unzips them while holding his cane. He pulls down his pants and underwear, exposing his penis. And then, while still facing me, he starts jumping up and down, all the while continuing to do that soft, coy laugh. He then changes positions and starts doing that, jumping from one foot to another in a lunging motion, like he's about to jump into the path of the train. Except now, his movement is compromised by his pulled down pants. He continues, his smiling, eyes shut and penis flopping around this way and that, and making that simpering laugh. All the while, I'm sitting there in some kind of mesmerized horror state. Suddenly, I hear the train rattling loud and approaching fast. In frozen horror, I'm both groveling and thanks to God, and terrified that at the end of all this true insanity, I'm about to see someone commit suicide right in front of me, or accidentally get hit by the train. Right as the train reached the platform and started to slow down, he returns to simply swaying again, takes a step back. Being the very last train of the night, every car seems to have some people on it. I knew immediately I was probably safe. The train stops and I sprint like hell down the platform to a few cars distance with people on them. I don't know if he gets on the train or just stands there, but I definitely don't hear anyone yelling or anything, so I assume that he pulled up his pants either way. And so, once on the train, I sink into the seat, my mind thoroughly blown. My mind explodes in every single variation of the feeling that can basically be eloquently summed up as one giant what the fuck. Gratefully, at the end of all that, I really do feel immediately safe, and I'm not further subjected to worrying about him following me on the train, if he even got on, because there's always other people getting off at Braintree. It was all just, quite simply, so odd and bizarre that I felt like after all these years, sharing it is easily the only way I can really get it off my chest. It's easily the closest thing to a nightmare I've ever experienced. It was so weird, scary, surreal, and happened so quickly that it was almost like I coasted cleanly. It was so weird, scary, surreal, and happened so quickly that it was almost like I coasted cleanly by being scared and just settled into a kind of hypnosis and unable to move. I'm not trying to be dramatic about it. I just don't know how else to describe it. Honestly, when I got on that train, I was just sitting there a bit tweaked, wide-eyed, and really honestly laughing in my head at the sheer shock of it all. The immense feeling of relief I felt when I boarded that train quickly changed any feelings of horror to disbelief and gratitude. This happened around 6 years ago. My ex and I were visiting England, and we ended up getting lost in a not-so-savory part of town, and it was getting late. This was before Uber, and we couldn't even find a taxi. We decided to wait for the next train, and ended up finding out from a nice homeless guy which train to take. However, we had a good 30-minute wait for the train. My ex decided he had to use the bathroom, so I stood outside while he used it. The station was completely deserted, save one person. At first, I couldn't decipher if it was a woman or a man. However, upon closer inspection, it became clear it was a woman, probably in her mid to late 40s, except she had that hard look about her. She was wearing men's combat boots, jeans that were tied with looked like rope, and a man's flannel shirt. She was skinny, greasy hair, and under a knit cap, and she was twitchy. My ex and I were used to seeing junkies, as we all both grew up in California, and our home city has its fair share of tweakers and junkies. Anyway, she sat there occasionally, mumbling to herself, but we didn't pay any mind to her. Mostly, we passed the time by playing with the deck of cards I had in my purse. The train pulls up when we go on. It's pretty empty, so we have our choice of seats. Of course, she sits right in front of us, even though there was rows of seats. We settle into our seats as we have 12 stops before we can get off. Meanwhile, she turns to us and starts cackling. She barely had any teeth, and the combination between that and her heavy Cockney accent made it pretty hard to understand. She starts telling my friend that she would give him a proper jobby if he'd give her some money. Now, at the time, we weren't up on British slang, and both of us were like, you'll give him a job, and my ex is telling her he doesn't need a job. She's getting worked up, and the conductor tells her she better be quiet or he will toss her off again. So she mutters that he can fuck right off under her breath and starts mumbling. It was hard to catch what she called me a slag and some not-so-nice names. Thankfully, we were back into the city proper, and our stop was coming up. We signaled, and the conductor that we wanted to get off, and he pulled the train to a stop so we could get out, and so does our friend. My ex tells me we will grab dinner as we're both starving, and we head for a pub not too far from our hotel we had seen the night before. Meanwhile, she's behind us. She starts taunting us, and I get a little worried, as obviously, she is off her rocker. We make a run for it, and get lost in a crowd. We think that's the end of it, and go and eat in the pub. We come out of the pub about an hour later, and head up the block to our hotel, when we hear, "That's them!" We turn, and our friend along with two other rough-looking characters are coming up the sidewalk. We book it for our hotel, which after a rich pub meal isn't easy. Luckily, once we get inside, the doorman shoos them away. Thankfully, we didn't see them again. This happened about a year ago, when I was visiting my family back home in the city from college during winter break. My old high school friends decided to get together at the bowling alley to catch up, but because I was the only one without a car, My best friend offered to pick me up from the nearest rail train station. The station also happens to double as a bus transfer station, so a variety of people, homeless, drunk, sober, etc., pass through. I had just gotten off the train, and it wasn't too dark out yet, maybe 6-ish, and I called my friend and told him to pick me up by the pickup and drop-off area, which was just between the transportation hub and the parking structure. He told me it was going to be about a 20-minute wait, so I stood waiting on the sidewalk. For some reason, there wasn't a lot of traffic coming into the pickup and drop-off area, but there were two cars in the area, most likely waiting to pick up a relative or a friend, just sitting in their cars on their phones. After a few minutes pass, I see two European men, late 20s maybe, stumbling around drunk towards the area. I didn't really think anything of it, because I reasoned that they were most likely headed towards their car in the parking structure. But they kept getting closer to me. One of the guys started to catcall me and slurred some words saying baby and beautiful and something of the other. The other guy, though, he was more sober. He was sneering at me. Eventually, I realized they were not just catcalling me from afar, but walking to me. And after they got within 3 feet of me, I sped walked to a few paces to the side. At this point, the more drunk guy starts cussing at me, saying I'm a fucking bitch, and laughing. But I just brush it off as an encounter with some weird drunk guys. Then, they stumble away. About 10 minutes pass, and it has started to get dark, and one of the two cars that was waiting had driven away. So now, there's only a car with an Asian guy waiting in the pickup and drop-off area with me. Nobody else was around. Then I hear a car screech and rapidly pull up to the pickup and drop-off area, and another car. And I get startled when I see that this banged-up car rolls its windows down. That's when I see that it was the same two guys from before, and I realize they are purposely harassing me, because the parking lot does not require them to go through the pickup and drop-off area. The car then pulls right up to where I'm standing, and I see the car door open. The one that was more drunk jumps out at me, with both of his hands to try to grab me. But I kind of dodge, and he just narrowly misses and touches me. At this point, I ran the 40 or so feet where the Asian guy car was, and I'm sort of screaming, because I am genuinely afraid that I'm going to be kidnapped. I guess the Asian guy watched the whole thing, because he had looked, just as freaked out as I was. I stood by his car, and the drunk guy stumbled on the sidewalk and looked at us. The Asian guy turned on his headlights, and then turned on his high beams. The drunk guy stares at us for a minute, disoriented by the lights, mumbling in some European language, probably more cuss words, maybe like Turkish or Russian, and then eventually he gets back in the car and drives away. I stayed by the Asian guy's car until my friend pulled up and I got into my friend's car and start crying. I tell my mom later, I think I almost got kidnapped, but she tells me we're probably just drunk jerks trying to scare a little girl, but I don't think so. I think they were up to something a lot more sinister. So, this didn't happen to me recently. In fact, it was quite some time ago. I was around 9 or 10 years old. I was with my best friend and our parents. We were on our way to the nearest shopping town. We lived in a small rural area with not many shops and would probably be finished looking around in 10 minutes. So we traveled by train to our nearest large city. It was easier and probably cheaper and definitely quicker. So, when the train arrived, me and my friend quickly ran onto the secure first table seats. Those ones with the four seats and a table in the middle. Pretty self-explanatory. The train was pretty empty. With us being kids, we wanted our own table seats and decided to take up the ones on the opposite side of the aisle and left our parents across from us. I noticed a guy, a couple of rows down in the normal seats. He was on his phone in a really strange position. It looked like he was taking photos of me. This was back in the day where selfies didn't really exist, so it was more than likely that he was either taking a photo or was using his phone ridiculously weird. Anyway, I pulled the collar of my coat over my face and looked the other way as I shrunk down into my seat. I didn't mention anything because, to be honest, I thought I was being outrageous. A couple of minutes later, a lady who I remember as being tall, slim and blonde, with a wavy bob and glasses, went over to my mom. She crouched down next to her and spoke very quietly and softly. I couldn't really hear her well enough to know what she was saying, but my mom's face told the whole story. My mom asked me to come and sit with her, and my friend's mom and the lady went to the conductor of the train. When we got to the next station, there were groups of police officers and security waiting on the platform. The train pulled up and the weird guy was taken away. We heard that he did in fact take photos of me, and they found hundreds of photos of other children on his phone and computer, etc. They didn't go into details, but I didn't ride in a train for a very long time after that. The worst thing is, I'm sure I saw him walking past my house a week later. In 2013, when I was 23 years old, I lived in an apartment in a foreign country all by myself for the first time. I met my then boyfriend, who is now my husband, in London the year before. I was from California, and he was from Northern Ireland. I moved to the north coast of Northern Ireland to be closer to him. I got a volunteer job at a church, and they were nice enough to get me my own apartment while I was working for them. My boyfriend lived a good hour away by train, better than a 10-hour plane ride. So, on Friday mornings, I would go down to see him and come back later on Saturday night so I wouldn't be rushing to church on Sunday. That meant I wasn't getting home until after 11 at night. On Saturday, a midwinter day, I took a late-night train home. On Saturday, sometime in the middle of winter, I took a late-night train home. It was usually quiet with students returning up north from being home over the weekend. But not this Saturday. A man got on the train a few stops before I was going to be getting off, who was being loud and obnoxious. I took a quick peek, but that was all. He didn't have a jacket on, just a long white shirt with no sleeves, and had a bunch of tattoos up and down his arms. He wasn't looking at me, so I wasn't too worried. Drunk people took the train all the time. When my stop came, quite a few people got off. Some got a taxi home, and others waited for the platform to get another train. My flat was only a half a mile away, so I decided to walk. Halfway there, I started hearing someone yelling a ways behind me. I tried to glance behind me without being too noticeable, and I saw the man from the train. He must have noticed my glance because he started yelling louder and louder. And then he started to bang along the walls of the terraced houses. That's when I picked up my pace. I was trying to walk as fast as I could without looking like I was running. Finally, I could see the corner that my apartment was on. Keys in hands, I shakily opened the shared door I had with my neighbor as the yelling and banging got louder. I finally got in. I ran up the stairs to my apartment door and ran in with the lights off into the windows. I hadn't seen him go around the corner, but I did see him come back around the corner. I'm sure that he was looking for me. I'm not sure why, but I'm glad I didn't find out. Let's just say, that's the last time I took the late night train up to my apartment. This happened when I was quite young. I was at a train station in London with my family, walking through a crowd of people to catch our train, when all of a sudden, this old man from behind me grabs my shoulder and starts screaming in my face that I had kicked him. I immediately start crying, so my mom and her husband turn around and start asking this man what his fucking problem is. He just continues shouting and swearing, saying that I kicked him. Bear in mind that I honestly didn't kick anyone and he was behind me, so it would be impossible. My mom's husband starts getting in his face and he runs off somewhere. So we go to find a member of staff to report what happened. We finally find someone once we've explained our situation, and they get some other staff to go and find this man. They eventually found him and remove him from the station because of all of his behavior. We also got moved up to first class, which is really nice of them. Apparently, this guy has been a menace here for a long time and has been harassing people, and apparently, even trying to abduct little kids, saying that their punishment is to take them back to his house. When I was 18, I was interrailing through Europe with my then boyfriend, and we were on a train between Rome and a port town in Italy. We would be getting to a boat to Greece the following day. We hadn't pre-booked any accommodation, as we found it really easy to get a hostel either en route or at arrival. Most of our previous destinations were just like this, and as we'd been arriving in the town at nearly midnight, we decided to have a look for hostels whilst on the train. Unfortunately, we found that there really wasn't much of accommodation where we were heading, as there had been in other more major cities that we had visited, and that the places we could find were mainly hotels and out of the way of way out of our price range. We were discussing this quandary amongst ourselves, my ex suggesting we slept at the station, when the guy sitting next to me on the train randomly struck up a conversation. He was really enthusiastic and chatty, and spoke pretty good English, asking about our trip so far, where we were from, and just sort of general chit-chat about ourselves. He also said that he had overheard our accommodation problem, and that he knew a perfect hostel for us, very close to the station and run by a friend of his. Initially, this just came across as a useful bit of information, but alarm bells started ringing for me as he became very insistent that we must stay there, and that if we mentioned his name that we had sent him, you could basically stay there for free. He wrote down an address and his name on the piece of paper, and virtually had me promise that we would go there. After I'd given him my word to stay there, he stopped talking to me entirely, which I found quite odd. He'd been so warm and talkative, and then just totally shut off. He also made 3 phone calls, none of which I could understand other than he said the word interrail a few times. The rest of the journey passed in slightly uncomfortable silence, and when I got up to get off the train, he just said, "Remember the address." We arrived in the town. It was late and pretty deserted. Nothing like the big touristy cities we had been used to. And I made up my mind then that we were definitely not staying in this quote-unquote hostel. My boyfriend was slightly annoyed, as I admittedly am a very paranoid person, but something just felt really off. We ended up checking into an annoyingly expensive hotel, literally a stone's throw from the station, as I was so creeped out I didn't want to go wandering off through the empty streets at night. Whilst at the hotel, I decided to look up the address he gave us. And first things to say is that if you googled it, there was no mention of it being a hostel or a guest house or anything. It just came up as a street address. And secondly, if you put it into Google Maps, it wasn't anywhere near the station. It just looked like a normal building in a residential area way out of the city center. I know that all this may have perfectly been innocently explained, but I think this guy may have ran a hostel from his home, and the train guy was just overly eager to promote business for this, but it could have been a lot more sinister, and a lot more dangerous. Some years ago, on a dark, warm summer night, my cousin and I headed out for the local steakhouse joint. My mother and aunt would join later after doing some errands. We got on our bicycle and took a shortcut by passing an eerie-looking train tracks. Eventually, we made it and waited for our mothers. After doing their errands, our mother headed off to the steakhouse. Knowing they were running a bit late, they decided also to take the shortcut. This is where it gets creepy. As both of them approached the train tracks, the guardrails came down. While they waited for the trains to come, my mother saw someone across the tracks, a black-haired woman in her mid-30s wearing an apron and holding a kitchen knife, stood lifelessly across the tracks. Her face was unseeable due to the hair blocking it, and blood was splattered all over her apron. Before she could take a closer look, the train passed. After the train passed, the woman vanished. It scarred her for life. My mother asked her sister on whether she saw it too, and unfortunately, she says she didn't. My cousin and I waited for 1 hour until my mother arrived. Hungry for dear life, we headed inside. It wasn't until we sat down that we realized the anguished faces of our mothers. scared for their lives. They told us what happened. It turned out, the woman they saw seemed eerily similar to her sister's friend who committed suicide months before jumping into the train track immediately after cooking dinner. We took the long way home afterwards.